When you talk to people on outback properties, you all get involved in things like the Rural Fire Service, particularly coming into the summer months. But when I look at some of the things that you've become involved with, and I'll just tick these boxes: New South Wales Ambulance Volunteers, Community First Responders, State Emergency Service, and the Rural Fire Service. How many pairs of overalls you got hanging in your wardrobe, Michelle?
Yeah, well, only three. The Community First Responders is the ambulance, so that's the blue uniform that we wear, and that sort of signifies more medical help. SES is orange, which is more basic first aid, but also, you know, helping cut people out of cars and rescue people and tarp roofs and, you know, remove branches with storm damage. And then the yellow is the Country Fire Service, which is helping out with bushfires, which we had plenty of last year.
Right. Now, where you're situated, the nearest ambulance station is in Broken Hill. What, we're talking 300 or 400 k's away?
It's 200 k's to Broken Hill. Right. That's a burnt service. And then the other ambulance is situated at Tipperborough, and that's just a four-wheel drive vehicle with the stretcher in the back and all the other medical equipment. Yeah, so at Pack Saddle, we've got an SES vehicle that has got the ambulance radio fitted into it. So if we do get called out on an emergency, we go either in our own vehicles with the SES car or just the SES car.
Now, it's the trio up there. There's Mia Degamoy and her mother-in-law, Viv, and your good self. To get involved with the ambulance service, did you have to undertake some training for this?
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was pretty intensive. We had to go to Tipperborough over a course of 6 months, and we had full weekend trainings. And there was five of them, and we had to go to all of them to qualify. You can't miss a training. And it's a pretty weekend. You'd get up there Friday night and sort of have tea and all get together. And then she was on for young and old on Saturday and Sunday, and then sort of pack up Sunday and come back home. So, yeah, it was pretty full on, but really good training. Had really good trainers. New South Wales Ambulance Service are very supportive. And, yeah, the people that were doing the training with us 5 years ago, some have left, some have stayed, were a really good bunch of people. So it was serious, and there was a lot of training, but, you know, there was a fair few laughs, and, yeah, we get on really well.
The training itself, is it mainly just basic first aid?
It's first aid, but it's also we've got modulars that we have to do, like a course of modulars over the 12 months. And so now that we've finished our initial five weekend training, which was back in 2005, we train every second month, or try to, if it suits everybody. And that's sort of a whole day training, and we'll go through the module and touch on different things that might be heart conditions, one module, or it might be asthma attacks, another module. So it's sort of, you touch base on all your different emergencies that you might have to respond to. And then we do scenarios. So they're quite nerve-wracking because we don't get a lot of call-outs. It's really, you know, your adrenaline gets going pretty well.
When you say call-outs, can you walk us through a couple of call-outs you've had?
We've had recent one, which I didn't attend because I was away, was a broken leg up on the Silver City Highway, about 100 kilometres north of Pack Saddle. And that was pretty severe. He was in a lot of pain. So, you know, because we had the methoxyfluorine, which is in our medical kits, we could offer that before we really only had Panadol. And another motorbike accident was a young lad at the Gymkhana, and he had a badly broken ankle. Same again, you know, could offer pain relief, which is really effective, and also oxygen, which is pretty essential when you've got someone in shock.
Can we go back to then, Michelle, what was the real catalyst, though, to get you involved with the ambulance service? I believe you had an incident in 2008?
Yeah. The catalyst of us joining the ambulance service was a helicopter accident, which had one fatality and one extremely severely injured patient. And we had to wait a long time for medical assistance, and that was before we joined the ambulance service, or before we'd become Community First Responders. So we had a four-hour wait for medical help and nothing that we could offer the gentleman in question. So, yeah, Mayor and I just got talking. I had been trying to get through the SES, and don't get us wrong, there's more members than just Mayor, myself and Viv in the SES. There's quite a few active members in the area. But back in 2005, they didn't offer anything more than basic first aid. They actually now have their own system of community first responders. But we've decided to stick with the ambulance service, seeing they supported us for a start. But, yeah, that's sort of what started the ball rolling.
We should point out here that Mia and Viv run the Packsaddle Roadhouse, and I understand there's been times that they haven't had people to work at the roadhouse when a call comes in, so they just close the door and take off.
And that's how dedicated they are. They, you know, they drop tools and run. They realise that, you know, you've just got to get there as soon as you can, and yeah, it's really, you know, it's true dedication on their behalf. And Vivian's 72, but she's great, and she's so active, and she's just, yeah, she's a real trooper. You just wouldn't like to do it without her.
Michelle, in this role that you've got, there's a fair chance at some stage you're going to come across some, well, horrific sights, and it could be we had the helicopter crash, it could be a car accident, motorbike accident. Did they sort of prepare you for that a little bit in your training?
Well, they do with the scenarios, and I think doing the scenarios, you'd learn to, I mean, you do have the adrenaline rush when you're first set out, but because you've got the training, it's something that kicks in that you can go, right, well, we've got to be methodical about this and do a, you know, a proper assessment. We've got equipment that we can monitor blood pressure. We've got oxygen that we can administer. So at least you've got the power of the knowledge and the equipment behind you to assist you, to make you feel that you can do something worthwhile and something that will help the patient. And also that it's your bedside manner a lot of the time. If you come in calm and, you know, ask questions and keep the person calm, even if you sit there and hold their hand and, you know, talk to them, I think because you turn up with a uniform on, people immediately go, gee, you know, they feel better because help's on its way or help has arrived. And yes, you sort of give that feeling of reassurance.
Thursday morning on Outback Outlook, we're talking to Michelle Mannion, who's on a property outside of Packsaddle, about the role she plays there with the ambulance service in New South Wales. And once you arrive on scene, you stabilise the passengers, or sorry, you stabilise your patients, I should say. Do you liaise directly with the Royal Flying Doctor Service?
Yes, we do, yep. And with the New South Wales Ambulance, just depending on your locality and radio communication, because we don't have mobile phone reception in a lot of places here, we've got the ambulance radio that we can contact directly with New South Wales Ambulance. And yeah, we've got a satellite phone, but also the UHF, and just at the roadhouse, we've usually got someone who's trained as a communications officer, which will liaison between ourselves out, because you might be 150, 200 kilometres from the roadhouse. So some, you know, you find a way to get back into contact with the roadhouse, who will then liaison back with the Royal Flying Doctor Service, which is usually who respond to our calls, or the ambulance service, just depending on where we are and how quick whoever can get there.
I think one of the main things coming out of what you're saying to us is that when you do arrive at an accident now, as you said, instead of just handing over a Panadol, you've now got the ability to administer oxygen, which would be a lifesaver, I'd imagine, for many of these people.
Yes, especially when they're in shock. It just helps keep people calm, relieves the symptoms of shock, and with the pain relief, that helps. And also the proper techniques of bandaging, how to bandage different breaks, how to assess a patient from, they call it a nose to toes, so you sort of feel them right from the top of their head down to their body. Also, if someone has a suspected spinal injury, that you put a collar on them so that you can keep their neck in place so you don't cause any further injuries to the patient. So you don't want to come to a car accident and end up with someone as a quadriplegic or a paraplegic because you didn't, you know, treat them in the right manner.
I want to throw this one at you too. Women who live in remote areas and who, whether at the Packsaddle Roadhouse or working on properties, are pretty used to seeing I suppose, day-to-day things that probably women in a major metropolitan area wouldn't see, and you're probably more grounded and down-to-earth. Do you find that, and do you think it helps you more in what you do?
Oh, definitely, Andrew, because the things that, you know, I've got three sons, and so we've had our fair share of accidents here, and you've just got to bite the bullet and try and stay calm and deal with it as best you can. And with having the extra ambulance training, you know that you've got a lot better knowledge base that you can apply yourself to whatever injury you're going to come across.
And how do the three boys and your husband see Mum? Are you, they think, oh, there she goes again with another pair of overalls on?
They're actually all members of the SES too and the CFS, so they've got two overalls themselves. So, yeah, I've only got that third one. But, yeah, no, they're really supportive. And we'd like to get more people involved in the ambulance service in around the area. The training is a big thing. My future daughter-in-law, who lives at Lake Wallace, which is northwest of here, fair way, she would like to do the course, and hopefully next year we can get her in and qualified, because she'll just add that extra person that is around who has got the training, and also she's in a different area. So she, like, I might be first on the scene if there's an accident east of here or south of here, whereas Mia sort of covers more the north and the west, whereas she would cover another area. So, you know, you're spreading your resources too.
And from what we're hearing this morning, or from what we're hearing, Michelle Mannion, it seems like it's the women putting their hands up. Where are the blokes? What are they doing?
With the ambulance service?
Yeah.
Well, around Paxell, not much. But Tipperborough, they have a good, they did have a good male contingency, which was great. And that's where we train. We train usually with the Tipperborough CFAs. So, CFRs, sorry. So, you know, it's nice to have that male strength when you're having to lift patients and put them on stretchers and put stretchers in and out of cars and whatnot.
And just for those people who aren't aware, how far is Tipperborough from you when you just drop in for your training?
It's about 200 kilometres. So it's usually a overnight, two nights usually. We usually go up one night, have tea, everybody gets together, because we don't see the Tipperborough CFRs very often, and then we'll train, and it's sort of like, get to know each other again and know who you're dealing with. So when the ambulance comes down from Tipperborough to us, if we're dealing with a car accident or something, that we actually know who's going to turn up in the ambulance and go, this is what, and we know what's in the ambulance and where it is, and so it's really good system. And Broken Hill have been really supportive too when we've had to hand over patients with them.
Well, it sounds like the three angels up there, and as you said, Viv at the age of 72, and I see where, if you mention the word retirement, you better duck when you say that to her.
Oh yeah, no, she's great. She, you know, she's very proud of her job, and she, you know, she puts her all in, that's for sure.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job up in that part of the world, the remote part of the world, and we hope you never get any call-outs, but you are going to get plenty at some stage. I can imagine school holidays and times like that. Michelle, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. No, you know, thank you to the community too. They, you know, they're great in supporting us as well. If there's an accident and someone goes past, you know, local, usually it's locals are first on the scene. So they're there to help us do what we're doing. So it's all, you know, the whole community just gets in and, you know, helps out.